Hello, everyone, and welcome to Note to Scene, a music news podcast covering everything from pop punk to metalcore. I'm Matt Crane.
I'm Tyler Sharp.
Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen, where every week we discuss all the biggest news stories in the music scene. Find more episodes of this show on Apple Podcasts, where you should please rate, review us, email us at notetoscene@gmail.com. We have a lot to talk about this week. Big news from 30 Seconds to Mars and Under Oath. But first, we're going to talk about Panic at the Disco, who are back with a new album and ready to conquer the world once again, as they have already done so many times before. Let's go. So, how much cooler would it have been if Franz and Ronnie Radke got into a Twitter fight in like 2013 when all of this still mattered?
It would have been the only thing we talked about for at least a few weeks. I mean, there would have been diss tracks coming out. We would have gotten already a Call Out Part 3. Ronnie would have made a rap track about it. It's so sad how little this whole debacle, if you could even call it that, mattered.
I know it wasn't even a debacle, whereas a few years ago, this would have been the biggest story in the scene. But, we hate to foreshadow the death of the scene, but now it's just like even these, what once would have been big moments, are just, it just kind of happened. It was just like, move on. Whereas, 2013, it would have been war. You know what I mean? There would have been people like picking sides and shit. You know what I
There would
mean?
have
And
been
going to bat
t-shirts,
for their
man.
artists. Yeah.
The Team Radke shirts would have been resurrected, and then we would have had Team Franz shirts. But yo, shouts to everyone who was in the Twitter replies last weekend or whenever this happened, because you're the only things that are left are seen. You're why you are why this was at least still a blip on the map,
Yeah, and
maybe.
this is really just Ronnie going in on Franz. Franz was like shockingly restrained, in all of this. He was kind of just, Ronnie bringing up that sushi lawsuit money, going the deep cut right there,
Man, you
taking a
can't.
shot at my man's net worth.
You
Ronnie just seemed like he was just drunk and slurring out tweets.
that he was sending out a tweet, and you literally couldn't even figure out what he was trying to say. And then he deleted it, and then he tweeted again, and there were still typos, but you could understand what it was. It just felt like Ronnie, go to bed. That's what my response was to it. It's
It was
past your
funny. What cracked
bedtime.
me up though was just the random swipe he takes at Jack from Sleeping with Sirens for getting caught playing with a backing
On
track
Warped
for his
Tour.
guitar. Like, only Sleeping with Sirens would have a backing track guitar. The whole band is a backtrack band at this point. It was just like, oh, poor Jack. You know what I mean? Poor Sleeping. Like, just a horrible casualty of this little Twitter war.
I know, and it's coming from the guy who has introduced a whole shit ton of backtracked electronics into his band's new songs and new era. It's just,
Yep.
I mean, oh my God, dude. This was just sad. That's all it was.
Just sad. The scene's getting sadder. All right. I don't want to waste too much time on this. Let's get into our main story this week, which is Panic at the Disco. Brendon Urie is back. The band announced their new album, Pray for the Wicked. They released the lead single, Say Amen, Saturday night. They released another song, Fuck a Silver Lining. They announced a massive tour. They did pretty much everything an artist can do this week. You got the full Panic package. So there's a lot to unpack here with the band. They're returning, coming off the just insanely successful run they had with Death of a Bachelor, which, they did a massive arena tour on that sold out and was huge. And, they were bumping up against 21 Pilots, looking like one of the biggest bands in the world.
It went
You know,
old
they their
school
record,
gold,
the old school gold and new school platinum. The
right?
record is actually a certified platinum now. But so I figure we should kind of start. Let's start with the lead single, Say Amen, parentheses, Saturday Night. Tyler Sharp, I know you listen to this one, my man. What do you think of it?
So the first thing I have in my notes is sports anthem question mark. Can this song be played in like the opening sequence commercial type thing of, say, you know, a Saturday night football game, college football, maybe a UFC fight, you know, Saturday night fights? I think it could be, but I'm not convinced that that's exactly what they're going for. I'm just saying that it could end up there. And if it does, I mean, more power to him, man. Brendan can do anything. Interesting, the bridge threw me right back to Pretty Odd. I'm pretty sure that's an homage to 2008 when that album dropped. It's a solid Panic at the Disco song. But my question I have with it is that, is there anything new here? This kind of just felt like a B-side to Hallelujah, you know? They rolled out the last record with Hallelujah as the lead single, and I think Hallelujah is a much better song than this one. But it's still generating a lot of streams, this new one, and it is already jumped to number 29 on alt radio. It just blew past Fall Out Boy's Church, which is also on rock alt radio.
I mean,
right,
okay,
now.
Hold on, I got it. Gotta cut in and say that, you know, that's not that big of an achievement, given that, you know, every single off that Fall Out Boy album has crashed and burned, and Church is a particularly terrible
song. I'm just
song.
Saying, man, it's time to have the conversation. Yeah. Is Panic at the Disco gonna be a bigger band than Fall Out Boy?
Like, at the moment, they just are. You know what I mean? We saw some of the numbers from the Fall Out Boy tour. What were they playing to 8,000 to 10,000 people, you know, a night? And Panic are selling out 20,000 cap arenas, you know?
Yeah, so it's time to have that talk. Like, this is just where we're at right now. You know, it's got 5 million plays on Spotify. It got on the New Music Friday playlist, which has...
I mean, that's to be expected, though. You know, it should be on New Music Friday.
Sure, I mean, the new Underoath song's on there, too, but it got decent placement on it is what really matters.
Yeah. I mean, the Underoath song was way the fuck down there on New Music Friday, whereas Panic was at least, you know, in the top 10.
Right,
and
they got a bump of 174,000 monthly listeners just from being on that playlist at that placement. So...
I love New Music Friday. Like, that playlist on Spotify, like, driving to work in the morning on Friday, I play it every Friday now. It's, like, this awesome, just, like, communal event now. Everyone's listening to New Music Friday. It's the first time I felt like in a while where, like, the whole country, or just, you know, a small part of the country at least, is starting to listen to the radio at the same time in a way. You know, everybody goes to New Music Friday, and articles are written about it and ran everywhere. I just love that.
God, I feel like I got invited to the party and I stayed at home on that one, man. I listen to Apple Music in one window and I look at Spotify stats in the other.
You're coming over.
As soon as my subscription's out, I'm rolling, man. I'm
coming. Okay, so it's really interesting that, you know, you said sort of, you brought up the comparison to Hallelujah and this, like, being a B-side, because the first thing you had written in your notes was Sports Anthem. The first thing I had written in my notes was Safe? ?
Yes, good
word. This, to me, feels like a very safe move for the band. There's not that much here we haven't heard from them before, and it's a little confounding and confusing. I don't know that it's necessarily a bad thing, but there's nothing new here. You know, we've heard this exact type of song, you know, on Death of a Bachelor, even songs like this, you know, on Too Weird. It's it's a good song. It's got a big chorus. It's a party jam. You know, I think if I had a few beers in me, I would like this song a lot more when that chorus kicks in. And there's sort of, you mentioned like the Pretty Out There, like there's like these like little like Baroque pop flourishes kind of sprinkled through it, just as like a little throwback. Even I got just the tiniest bit of like a little Fever throwback, just as like a tease. I could hear it just around there. And it's like, okay, so a little bit of Baroque pop just to make the fans sort of remember that era. But yeah, you know, I'm just at this weird spot where it's like it feels safe to me, like nothing new. It's a good song, but like I don't know that it's better than Victorious. You know what I mean? I don't know that it's better than Hallelujah. You know, I like it better than the title track or what's the Gargoyle video one called?
Oh, shit. Don't it's not don't threaten me with a good time.
No, that's the cocaine gasoline one.
Right.
Anyways, point being is it's just it's not that it's bad or I feel like some big decline here from Panic, but it just feels so safe and I'm a little confused by that at the moment. How are you feeling about it, Tyler? I'll give my score. My score on the song right now is I'm at a 7.3 out of 10.
Okay, I was at a 7.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm totally on the same page. That was my main question. Is there anything new here? I don't think there is. This feels just like a B-side to the whole Death of a Bachelor album, but also just like a B-side to the 7-inch of Hallelujah. And it kind of, say amen. It's got the same concept. I know he's really built
Literally,
his
right.
fame.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Right. He's built his fan base around this concept of religious aspects. He calls his fans the sinners and whatnot. And there's another thing to be read into about how Fall Out Boy's current single is called Church, but that's a whole nother discussion. Like you said, it's safe. And I don't think that's the right move for Panic right now.
Right.
It kind of feels like when you look at the trajectory of Panic and the evolution of their music specifically, this kind of feels like it flatlines with Death of a Bachelor. We're not going
Yeah.
anywhere else. Whereas it should be going, like, where is, I understand he's having the aesthetic of the throwback Frank Sinatra modern day pop vibe, but where's the EDM chorus? Like, where's the marshmallow feature? That's
I
what
mean,
we're waiting
where
for,
is the
right?
modern Spotify pop, sort of
Yeah, where's
encapsulation of this? Where is the evolution?
Right.
Is he keeping up with the times? Panic had their special moment with Death of a Bachelor, and I just don't know that that can be stretched out over two albums. And I want to ask you, I don't know if you got the same feeling as me, but does this feel like kind of soon to you? I don't like Victorious and all that. It just, God, I know it was a while ago. It just doesn't feel that long ago. I guess because maybe that campaign, got stretched out so long and that arena
Sure.
tour was so big, but it kind of feels like they haven't been gone long enough almost to me. Like this feels like people were people really anxiously waiting for this. Like were you really waiting for Panic to come back right now, Tyler?
Yeah, that was one of the things I wanted to bring up. I think if the song was better, we wouldn't be having this conversation. We'd be like, fuck it. Yes, bring it on. But one of the things that Panic and Brendan was in the news cycles for, maybe like not even a month ago, just a couple weeks, was that he was saying that he liked the idea of just releasing singles, Lucy's. And I was all about it because that's where the music industry is going. We're going towards just consistent single releases, maybe throughout the year for artists. And I was ready for it. Drop a single, send it to alt radio, send it to top 40, see what it can do, see how you can burn, see how you can turn Panic at the Disco and this Frank Sinatra meets millennial modern pop vibe and give it a Spotify core twist to it. I think that's what should have been done with this album. And unfortunately, it looks like we're just getting Death of a Bachelor Part 2.
Yeah, kind of like, it didn't seem broke, so they're not gonna fix it. I imagine to Feel by Ramen and Atlantic Records as a whole, the success of that album was a big shock to them.
Unexpected,
Like
yeah.
nobody saw that going platinum. Nobody saw it, selling 190,000 copies first week. No, I mean, n even at the time when I was at AP, we didn't see it coming. You know what I mean? Because
Right.
Too Weird was a big success. What did like 80K first week, and I think eventually went gold or got close to it. And it was like, okay, the band's back on the money, but we didn't know it was gonna blow up the way they re-blew up like they had with Fever. We didn't know
Right.
they were gonna get that big again. So you could almost see the label being like, we just made a lot of money off what you did last time. Can you do
Can
that again for us,
you do it
Brendan?
again? Yeah, I mean we are witnessing still the Panic at the Disco repeat, and I just not sure if this is the right step. And like you said, I was really bummed. I said it on the show that we were going to get a panicless summer last summer, and I wasn't sure that that was the right move for the band. Like I wanted them to drop a Lucy during the like a summer anthem and have it burn.
Well, they dropped Hallelujah like months
Sure,
before
right.
I feel like the album
Yeah.
announcement, you know, and that kind of worked well for them. Like that song, I think it's one of their like
Exactly.
highest charting singles since the Fever days. It easily, you know, it got into top 40 radio.
Right. So I was really hoping we were just, I just, like you said, it does feel soon for a full album, but I don't think it's too soon for a Panic at the Disco banger. Like, I
Well,
think.
and that's the thing. If it was a banger, you know, and this is a
Right,
good song. I don't
exactly.
want to say it's a bad song. I
Right.
really like, I like that chorus. That chorus pops. It's, I feel like if I was at a party though, I feel like it requires ancillary sort of entertainment to make this song really like flourish and sort of blossom. Like if you're at a party and you've had a few drinks and you're having a really good time and that chorus kicks in, you're gonna throw your hands up in the air like Brendon Urie, and you're gonna be like,
Right.
yeah, you know. But I don't know, like sitting alone listening to this song, you know, I listen to Spotify in my car every day all the time, and I didn't really go to this track that much because there wasn't that much exciting there. But you know, it's still a good song. It's just like you said, if they had just maybe dropped a Lucy banger that was just a certified, you know, gold banger and kind of left us hanging, maybe that would have been a more exciting move here.
Right. When we look at Panic and their return and their rise to their re-peak, Too Weird and Death of a Bachelor feel like different eras of the band, right? So this album needs to feel like a different era of the band. And in order to do that, I think you got to release a slightly polarizing Lucy to just kind of ease people into it. As long as it's a banger, it'll work. But unfortunately, we're getting just kind of
And I
the
mean,
more
I'm going to
typical.
pivot a little here and point to Falling in Reverse, who are having a lot of success with their Lucy they just dropped. God, I forget it, the name of the song.
Yeah, I don't know either, but
Going
I
Insane. It's
know the
called Going
song.
In, yeah, it's called Going Insane or something. And you know, it's got a crazy video. It's, you know, it's out there. It's, you know,
It's
they're doing
racking up
something
the
different,
streams too.
experimenting, and it's doing really well for the band, you know, and it can be a good move in this era. But you know, instead we get the full album announcement, which it's so weird. Like I'm not disappointed, you know. I'm excited for a Panic album, but it's just,
Something feels
are
off,
we?
doesn't it?
Yeah, it's just like, and we'll get into it a little more. Like there are some other things I noticed, but so instead of just getting a single and getting the anticipation, we got the full album and we got the lead single, Say Amen. And we also got another song called Fuck a Silver Lining. This is weird to me. I always find it weird, the double song release. Remember Neck Deep did
Neck
it
deep.
with the Peace and the Panic, and it was just like, why? You know, you want to be concise and focus on that lead single, you know. Oh, and before we dive any further into this next song, I want to point out, Say Amen was the number one added song to alt radio this week. It got more ads than any other song, so that makes sense, and that would explain, you know, the big jump we saw. And you know, when a song is sort of massively added to alt radio, there's usually an exchange of cash between record labels and radio stations. So you know, there's no guarantees that this is going to be a big hit at alt radio, I would say. You know,
True,
we saw the
yeah.
big jump, but I don't know if it this is gonna I don't know if this makes the top 10.
Yeah, it got 30 ads. While we're here, do you think it will make the top 10? I know you're hesitant, but where do you think this song peaks?
I am hesitant, man. You know, I could see it kind of like, you know, Paramore's Hard Times, what they got up to like 14 or something and kind of
Yep,
hung
right
out there.
around
Ah,
there.
this might do that. Or, you know, I could just be completely wrong and Panic could just steamroll to number 5 or number 4 or something.
Yeah.
You know, it remains to be seen.
I'm a
But
little bit more confident in this than I am Paramore.
yeah, well, you fucking hated that song. So okay, so Fuck a Silver Lining. What did you think of this song, Tyler Sharp?
So this is kind of in the same as Say Amen, but a little more to the extreme. It's trying too hard to assume the modern top 40 Frank Sinatra role. The horns in the chorus are good, I think, you know, like they make it feel big. What I kind of get down to is like, is it just me or are these two songs kind of forgettable? Like I kept having to go back to these songs to remember how they sound. Like these choruses aren't sticking with me the way Hallelujah did, the way Victorious did, the way the title track off Death of a Bachelor did. Am I
You
alone
know,
or where are you at on this song?
what's your score?
I'm at a 6 and a 5, 6.5 out of 10 here.
Yeah, you know, it's okay, so it's fun, but it's flat.
Right,
You know, it's like
right.
this Bruno Mars funk sort of old-timey jam. And I'm just like, this is the complete wrong direction, I think, for the band to be going into. You know what I mean? Like, the future is the other way. You know, this isn't the way. And you know, I don't want to waste too much time on this song because it's not the lead single. That's obviously why they kind of chose to drop it now. I don't even know why I released this song now.
True. Yeah, this is a filler
I
song.
just don't. I don't. It, the song, it's very like involved with itself too. It's very like inward looking. It's just this weird sort of like reflex exercise of like Brendan just sort of, you know, for lack of a better word, sort of practicing his disco, you know, tech like in this weird way. I just don't really see this song beyond much of like an art project or like, you know, sort of like a performance art. It's not really like a song. It's just kind of sonics coming at you and this stream of boringness, I guess. That being said, Brendan's voice still sounds tremendous. You know, the
Sure, of
instrumentation is
course.
executed well, and that's why I ultimately landed at a 6 out of 10. You know,
Okay.
it's boring.
Yeah, and it's so funny you call it flat because the horns in the chorus, like it has a horn, it has an entire horn section in the chorus of this song, and I 100% agree with you. It sounds flat.
Yeah,
Like
but where are they?
that.
They're under the mix. You know what I mean? It's like you got the
Right.
horns, turn that shit up, you know? But like they're just like they're underneath Brennan's kind of humming throughout this song. Yeah, I just this releasing this song was a mistake, I think.
Yeah,
Didn't
it's
need to
not
come out
gonna
now.
be a hit. I'm
No.
wondering why we're not getting the This Is Gospel Part Two. Where is that ballad at? You know, like we didn't really get that last album.
The double single is never the hit. You know what I
Right,
mean?
for sure.
It's just like it's like why not? I don't know. Yeah,
Yeah.
I'm kind of speechless because I never thought, you know, I'd be on this side of the fence with Panic. You know, we were so
Right.
excited
Like
about Panic
how
coming
can we
off of
be
Death
here
Cab
right now?
for
Why are we so he we shouldn't be this hesitant for a Panic at
Foot.
the
I know.
Disco album rollout in 2018.
You know, man, we've seen so many scene bands fail, you know, from Sleeping to Of Mice and Men to you name it. And we're watching this scene just sort of unravel. And it was like, this was one of those bands that was on the up, you know? And I hate to even take the dialogue into this territory. Listeners, I do not want to be here.
Right.
I don't want to sound like a doomsday sayer, but you know, I'm just like I'm going through these items here we got, and I'm just like I'm not like up next. You know, like they announced this massive arena tour, right? They kind of just did it though last year. Like it's a really big tour, really big arenas, and you know, last year I mean it went off. They packed that shit
Right.
out. You know, they did the documentary. Do they have enough gas in the tank to do that again
I mean,
with,
he's
you
a
know,
year
with a
removed from
single
the
like
tour
this?
market, right? So he proved he can sell them out last spring, and we've only, you know, they're actually releasing a new album right now. So hypothetically, this should be easy, man. This should be cash in the bank. So I honestly I don't think he'll have too many issues selling these out. I just think Brendan as a celebrity and as a personality online is just where it's at right now, way more so than anything related to Fall Out Boy. So I think he's gonna have an easy time filling these venues out. I'm worried about the album.
It's just a really big fucking tour. And I know maybe we're, you know, close to your move, but like when you do a really big tour like that, you know, it's almost like you kind of want maybe 2 years in between it, you know, a big
Right.
full arena tour. And you know, like I said, if this was a banger single and it became a big hit, you know, it becomes a lot more conceivable to me that, you know, a giant arena tour could be a success.
True.
But maybe, you know, I sort of look at it more as like a cash grab. Like, let again, you know, the label. Let's try to do this again. It you know, it worked really good last time. Let's put out another Death of the Bachelor. Let's try to pack arenas again. It just kind of feels like more of the same.
And it should be said that it's not happening in the late winter, early spring this time. It is happening in the second half of summer. The weather's going to be good all the time. Hypothetically, more people should show out for it. So I'm trying to look on the bright side here, but I feel where you're coming from.
Yeah, and man, I love Brendan Urie so much. He like, you know, in all my times working in this music industry, of all the musicians I met, Brendan Urie was the nicest dude, you know, which is surprising. The most famous, he was the nicest. He's the guy who remembers your name. You know what I mean? He's just the nicest, awesome guy. So, you know, I don't want to be down on him because I've always liked his music, and you know, Fever's a classic. I love Too Weird, and
Always.
even I like Vices, and I like The Bachelor. It's just I'm just man, this is a tough segment to get
It's
through.
worrying.
Yeah, I don't like to be worried about Panic. This was supposed to be
Right.
smooth sailing, but okay. So, did you see the band perform on Fallon? Fallon is the biggest, pretty much the biggest one you can play late night wise.
Kind of the second
I think
biggest.
Colbert is beating him in the ratings right
Right,
now, so
yeah.
maybe Fallon is number two. But still, if you're playing Fallon or Colbert, that's flagship late night television. That's the most viewers. You know what I mean? Either one of those is basically the number one slot. You know, you're not playing Conan. You're not playing Corden, and you know Fallon's kind of not Fallon. Kimmel's kind of in the middle there, but playing Fallon's a big deal. So, any thoughts on the performance, Tyler? Anything good? Come on, give me something
First
good, man.
off, Jimmy Fallon is the biggest Panic at the Disco fan. I mean,
Oh yeah.
that's the biggest takeaway from this.
All right.
He is the band's biggest fan of all time.
He's the biggest fan of a lot of things, though.
No,
He's
I see,
Mr.
and
Platt.
I know. He pulls
And
the Zane
I know what
Lowe.
you're saying,
He
though.
pulls
He
the Zane Lowe.
we've seen it, but I know what you're saying. We've seen it. He really does genuinely seem to love this band,
Yes,
even though
this is
he loves everything else is so totally awesome. He
right.
really does get a little extra excited for Brennan.
No, I think he actually likes Panic at the Disco. And it's pretty evident if you watch any of his reactions to the performances on the show. Main thing I took away from this, interesting, and I know we're going to touch on Panic's new member after this, but why bring the band back to the front? For a while, he was doing TV performances like the Ellen one, which was fantastic. It felt like a Broadway performance
Oh,
almost.
hell yeah. That was
With and it
great.
was only himself, which made sense. Brendan is Panic at the Disco. My question here is, why bring the band back? Do we have an answer?
Yeah, you know, I don't really have a good answer to that question. I totally agree with you. Brendan doing the Broadway thing, you know, during the live performances, which was a much more compelling thing, and bringing the band forward kind of sort of like levels out the plane a little bit and makes it feel more of, you know, like a wide flat shot sort of performance that we typically see. And the other thing I really noticed about this band when they were playing on Fallon, and then that got me thinking about just sort of the imagery around the rollout, is the color palette is just like gone. Black suits. Like, you know, there's no gold jackets anymore. There's no red jackets. You know, it's all Brendan with sparkling gold jackets was so
Right.
cool. You know what I mean? And the theatricality is kind of like, it almost looks like they're trying to do away with it for this cycle. And it just feels like less fantastical than the band used to. And that really like bugged me in a way I didn't think I cared that much about that. But I was kind of like, oh, this like it just feels, you know, Brendan goes up there, he gives a hell of a performance. You know, the dude's a performer, but I don't know if I just like seeing my man in a gold jacket or what, but it just makes it that much more fun when he looks like pure fucking Vegas, you know? And it was weird to see the band just looking like, you know, I don't know, nothing but thieves or something up there, you know, like
Yeah. I was just very confused. I like you said, they killed it. Like it was good. Brendan always delivers, but I think
it's
this
kind of
is a
washed out
case.
by the aesthetics, like.
Yeah, I think this whole segment we're kind of getting towards is a case kind of the same thing we had with Under Oath. By the standards of the rest of the bands we kind of cover on the show, this would be fantastic, but we're going by Panic standards and we're going by Under Oath standards that they have themselves set before them by the material that they've released, and this new stuff isn't living up to our expectations. I think that's the biggest thing, what it comes down to, and
Right.
it's concerning for the future of these artists.
We are on watch now. Quick cool thing, you know, the band announced a new bassist. Her name is Nicole Rowe. This is the replacement for Dallin Weeks. Interesting, she played for Miley Cyrus.
Dude, I
So
had
that
that in
was
my notes. Dang it. I thought I was gonna blow
yeah
your
but
mind with
nah man yeah
it.
I'm blowing your mind, man.
Did Matt
For
did
the
his homework.
younger now,
Matt did
when
his homework.
Miley, you know, went back to country kind of and all that, she was playing with Miley, so that's an interesting connection. It just straight up, it's really cool to see a girl in Panic at the Disco. I think
Totally.
that's dope.
As a antithesis to bringing the band back, this is really cool to see.
Absolutely. This is so that, that was one bright spot, I kind of saw in all this. Again, I like the song. I'm just, I'm a little worried. And I just gotta be like, all right, don't. I'm not trying to raise alarm bells here.
Oh no. What are you doing,
I'm
Matt?
just, I got, we talked about Fall Out Boy fatigue, and I just gotta raise the question. Like, is there some panic fatigue right now? Because, I just looked at the video, the big rollout video, which, by the way, the video wasn't particularly exciting to me. I mean, it was kind of cool seeing Brendon Urie, like, stab a bunch of people and get attacked, but I didn't see too much unique going on in that concept. But the video, the big main YouTube video, only has 3 million views, only 5 million plays on Spotify. The song's only at number 8 on iTunes right now. Like, is this troubling? You know what I mean? Like, should these numbers be bigger? I'm thinking back to even Paramore and Hard Times. At this point, that Hard Times YouTube video had what, like 10 million views?
Well, there certainly wasn't Paramore fatigue. That was the big thing. That's
No, yeah, there was no Paramore fatigue at all.
right.
So that's why I'm wondering, it's like, is that why the new Panic! The Disco lead fucking single with a video on YouTube is sitting at 3 million streams? That just seems loaded.
I think, yeah, definitely. And I think there's a lot that goes into that video in particular. And as soon as I saw that it was a quote unquote film, I clicked out of it. Because I don't want that to be the first way I hear this song. And I'm so glad that I did, because when you go back and watch the video, it's the song's all chopped up and Brendan's acting in it, I don't know if it's like an acting pitch for him
Again,
to.
wearing a, like a black suit too,
He's
by the way.
right.
The color palette,
Yeah.
like, the whole color palette of the video is dark. It's just we're losing all color in this band, I guess.
Right. And it's
Although
kind of
I do
cool.
like the album art. I think the album art's kind of cool.
See,
I do like that.
now you brought it up. Now I got to talk about it. It's kind of like a ripoff of a Manchester Orchestra album cover and a Mute Math album cover kind of pushed
Yeah, man, nobody
together.
knows who those bands
I'm just saying, man.
are.
Every time I look at it, I'm like, that's not Panic at the
I'm
Disco.
kidding. All you Manchester fans, don't at me. I'm kidding. We know who Manchester are.
Dude, they
Okay.
got an alt radio song burning, man. It's been there for a
So yeah,
while.
good for them. Good for them.
So
They had an
yeah,
AP cover. Good for them.
they did have an AP cover. I remember being very disappointed as a freshman in high school in that issue. It's like, who the
Oh
fuck's this
man.
band?
I know. Where's Bring Me the Horizon?
All
Okay.
right.
So I just bring that point up. We hypothesized panic fatigue, Fall Out Boy fatigue early on, and it really played out. The Fall Out Boy singles went nowhere. The shows aren't selling out. They're not nearly selling out, the Fall Out Boy tour. And I gotta pose that question. Is there panic fatigue right now? Because I'm just seeing low numbers, and it's troubling to me.
We
Why aren't they
are,
number one on iTunes right now? There's
I
no reason
mean,
for that.
as far as the Billboard Top 200 goes, we are living in the age of the number one flop. Fall Out Boy did it, Eminem did it, Justin Timberlake is doing
But
it.
like,
I don't
and
know.
they're not even in the top. I didn't even see the single in the top 50 on Spotify in the US. That
Right.
just seems
It feels
unacceptable
like
to
there's
me.
lacking momentum here already, right out of the gates, and that's not a good
And is that
telltale sign of the
because this
campaign.
song is that because this song isn't getting people juiced? You
It's a
know what I
mix
mean?
of
It's
everything,
not
right?
burning.
That's what it comes down to, is that the song's not good enough.
The song's not good enough. Maybe it's a little too soon. There might be some fatigue. But Tyler, we've talked about Panic for a really long time, so
Yep.
we have got to move on to our next story, which is probably going to take a really long time.
Oh
Under
boy.
Oath, our guys
The
released the
boys.
second single, Rapture, from their first album in 8 years, called Erase Me. This follows the lead single, On My Teeth, which I believe we got in depth on 2 episodes ago.
We got
You
called
can go
out,
listen to that
son. We
episode.
got called out.
Yeah, we got, Spencer Chamberlain, the singer of Under Oath, kind of gave it to us for that episode. It was a fun time. It was a fun episode. You should go listen to it if you want to hear our thoughts on My Teeth. But the second single is out now, Rapture. Tyler Sharp, I know you heard it. What are your thoughts on this single?
This is the best Sleepwave song that we've gotten so far. We called it, man, on that episode. The first single was the fan service song. The second single is the radio push. And might I add that today it got added to 8 rock radio rotations. So
It
this
was
is
the fourth most added track to rock radio this week.
like the time has come, man. This is the moment. We will see in the next couple of weeks if Under Oath can have a rock radio hit. If this song can get some momentum and start to climb the charts, or is it going to hit a brick wall at 4,000 40 or 30, which, you know, the Black Veil Bride songs have done, the Of Mice and Men songs have done, the you name it. If a scene band's got it on rock radio, minus I Prevail. And A Day to Remember, same about you, is actually starting to burn above 30 now, so we'll see where that goes. But Rapture, it's obviously missing the Under Oath edge. It goes without saying at this point. The chorus is solid, and I think that's what we can really take away from this song. It's it's not an Under Oath song, but Under Oath have said themselves that they don't want to be Under Oath anymore. They don't want to have those expectations, and they wrote this album without having those expectations themselves. So, of course, it's not going to sound like the heaviness of Define and Lost, or the poppiness of They're Only Chasing Safety, or the avant-garde-ness of Disambiguation. This is a new album. This is a new era for the band. They want to be a big radio rock band, and this song proves it. I have heard, listeners, just calm down, I have heard that there are heavier moments on the album, arguably heavier moments than On My Teeth. So we're going to get a mix here. And I've
heard that this is about as rock radio as it gets.
I've heard there's one other song that has the potential to be, you know, fighting against Rapture for the most rock radio that Under Oath gets on this album. But just seeing it on the media base ad boards, I got the biggest smile across my face today. That my favorite band has the chance to have a hit song. I mean, they've released unparalleled albums to me and for a lot of people, you know, personally. And they've proved that they can be a big band, like 98,000 copies first week. That's massive. But they've never had an actual hit song.
That was in 2006 with Define the Great Line.
Right. And
which eventually went gold.
Dude, it went gold within like the next 3 months. Yeah. It was unreal what that band was doing in 2006. But this is their chance.
All that said, Tyler, where are you at on the song? What do you think of this?
Oh, man. I am at a 6.9. Again, the Aaron versus Spencer thing. If Aaron was the predominant vocal on this song, and Spencer maybe only did the bridge, if they just traded spots, I'd probably be close to an 8. I just genuinely think that Spencer has a bad voice, especially compared to Aaron. And personally, I don't think he can carry the band to radio rock stardom. But do I hope that he does? Absolutely.
Of course. Let's get into that in a minute, and I'll get on tape what I think.
Okay.
You know, and I gotta say, like, Under Oath, you know, I know, like, the guys listened to the last episode and maybe felt a little disrespected, and I don't want to do that here because I love this band. You guys have put out, you know, incredible work that got me through fun times. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I grew up with your music. It's awesome. I'm not sitting here like, where's When the Sun Sleeps? You know what I mean? I understand bands have to evolve. You know what I mean? I get it. But that being said, I fucking laughed out loud when I first heard this song at work. I was cracking up because I couldn't believe it. You know, I mean, like, I could believe it because, you know, we talked about this when the first single came out. We're like, here comes, you know, we felt the rock radio single coming. And, you know, part of me didn't want Under Oath to do that because, like I said, I wanted something new and crazy. I want Under Oath to blow my mind. But I understand the mode the band are in right now. And I understand they want to be a rock radio band. And I agree with you. It's cool seeing Under Oath on the ad board for rock radio. Although I don't know that's going to translate into any kind of success. Because, you know, like, dog, like, we start with the Sleepwave Fuzz intro. And I, as soon as I heard that, I was like, oh, shit, it's over. Yeah, like, I knew it was over as soon as I heard that. And then we jump into this doomy Avenged Sevenfold guitar riff that intros you into the song after that. And I was like, what the fuck's going on here? And the bottom line that it sort of comes down to is, like you said, this is a Sleepwave song. This sounds exactly like Sleepwave. It's this Filter meets Nine Inch Nails Love Child that we've already heard before. It's a Sleepwave song. You know, when I looked at the video, the top YouTube comment, you know what it was that I saw? It was somebody said, how's everyone like the new Sleepwave track? Mm-hmm. You know, and it had, like, you know, 1,000 likes or whatever on YouTube. And we're not the only ones saying this. This is, like, right, everywhere I looked, because I wanted to make sure I wasn't going crazy. everywhere I looked, this was pretty much the reaction that I was seeing. Everyone was like, this sounds like Sleepwave, which it totally does. And anyone who has that opinion is totally valid. And I'll just say, play this song back to back with Through the Looking Glass. You know what I mean? At least just the intros. And you're like, oh my God, like we're really doing the same thing. And I know you said you think this is the best Sleepwave song. I don't even think I'd give it that much credit. I think Looking Glass is a better Sleepwave song than this.
Get the fuck out of here. A better
chorus.
Man.
That chorus goes way higher.
No, the second half of this chorus rips. It's solid.
I'm at a 5.8 out of 10.
Oh,
on this
dude,
song.
Just a dagger to the heart, man. Are
you
kidding me?
And I hate to do it, man, but it's, this is a calculated move, and I appreciate and I understand the move to try to go to rock radio with this band. But the song's just not good enough. I don't see it climbing the charts, and I wish it would. I want to see Under Oath do good at rock radio. I really do. That would be so cool. Even though it would be cooler to get a new experimental album from them, it would also be cool to see them dominate rock radio. But the song is just not there, man. And I know you know it in your heart. The song is not there. It's not going to crack the top 10. It's going to get this initial radio ad push that, whatever Concord pulled off to make happen. But I don't, do you really realistically see this climbing?
I mean, I don't think that the current 3 Days Grace single is worth the pile of shit that it was made with. I don't think that, obviously it does fit the current rock radio mold, but
there are dudes that like that shit. You know what I mean? There are dudes that like just like that kind of
shit.
So
what you're saying is that bros aren't gonna like this song.
It's not for bros. It's not for Under Oath fans. It's not for Scene Kids. You know what I mean? It's not even for I Prevail fans. It's like Nine Inch Nails aren't popping off at rock radio anymore. Filter's been over for 20 fucking years. You know what I mean? It's like this kind I know Spencer's really in love with this kind of music, but it's like, I love you, Spence, but you already did this in Sleepwave and it didn't fucking work. You know what I mean? Nobody cared. It didn't go anywhere. That project just flopped. And this song is just a regurgitation of that. And it already didn't work with Sleepwave. I just don't see how it's going to work with Under Oath. It's a little frustrating.
I know, and I thankfully I've had a lot of time to calm down from the first time I heard this song till when we're recording it. And the first current rock radio band that I kind of connect this with is Nothing More. They have the electronics, they have the robotic tendencies, they have a really like abrasive output, and I honestly don't think that band is good at all, but they're making rock radio hits. They're getting recognition. Yeah, they're like, doing about 20,000 first week.
They are having success, but like, who's going to remember them in 5 years, honestly?
I mean, they were on fucking Warped Tour 2008, man. They've been on the upslope ever since. I mean,
there were some reinventions there, but...
There were absolutely some reinventions there, but say what you will about that band, they're here now, and they're having success. I think...
Do you know anyone who Nothing More is their favorite band?
Maybe not their favorite band, but shouts to Brian Storm. He'll ride for this band.
He'll ride for them, but they're not his favorite band.
No.
Under Oath is a favorite band. You know what I mean? They shouldn't be making Nothing More music.
Under Oath is trying to
They should be making
break,
favorite band music.
Under Oath is trying to break into a market where no one knows who they are. Right. They have to make
and
different
I agree.
Music to do that.
It's just this song's not good enough to do it. And coming back to your point about Spencer's vocals, his clean vocals just aren't particularly special or good enough on this track, I think, to execute or do it. Shouts to the little Aaron moment we get, we get a brief moment of Aaron singing on this song, and I appreciate that.
It's so funny you brought up When the Sun Sleeps, man. Whenever I think about Aaron in a bridge, that's the song that I think of.
right. Oh my God, that bridge, man.
Yo, shouts
even,
to 2002, man. Yo,
don't
get
even,
out of here.
Don't even.
Get out of here.
Phil from the new Tragic in the video.
Dude,
oh,
filthy
on, man.
Phil, man. Starting his
filthy
acting
Phil.
Career.
Oh man, we could talk about When the Sun Sleeps all day, couldn't we?
And I'm sure the
just
if,
that,
if
that,
anyone
that bridge,
from the Under Oath camp was listening to this point, they're not listening anymore.
No, they've failed on. And if you are still listening, I'm sorry, guys. I don't mean to get angry and be disrespectful. This band means a lot to me, so it's hard, but I gotta judge this band the way I judge
That's what we
any
do.
other band.
That's what
And
we do on
to
the
be
show.
fair, we've trashed some bands on this show, and we've dragged bands through the mud. And I think, you know, we've been pretty respectful and fair with Under Oath. You know,
Absolutely,
we're
because we
not
both
slaying them.
genuinely
It's
love this band. You know, we want to see them succeed, but we also want to see them release good music, and
And
we just don't
I don't think
believe.
Spencer is a bad singer when it comes to clean vocals. There's just nothing super special there that's gonna make it stand out on rock radio. You know, like we want them to have that rock radio
But
success, but
so
it's just,
isn't that the
it's
point
not.
though? He's kind of checking off a box. The band is by using Spencer more than Aaron, right? They're checking off this box that
Well, it
emo
makes
Aaron
them,
Gillespie vocals aren't going to work on rock radio. The more
Well, we know that,
downtrodden,
right?
nasally kind of delivery that Spencer has, it could work on rock radio.
But he's not quite all the way towards that spectrum. You know what I mean? He's in this
I
weird
know,
sort of
but he's
middle
closer,
ground that,
right? That's why they did it.
yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Spencer works better at rock radio than Aaron. We've discussed that. You know, Aaron would work great on, you know, the masterpiece experimental Blow Your Mind Under Oath album we've never heard. That, you know, that would have been cool to get. You know what I mean? The Aaron vocals would be good on that. But yeah, I agree. Not on rock radio. We don't want Aaron. But Spencer's just like in this middle ground. He doesn't quite, you know what I mean? He doesn't sound like he's in Papa Roach's either, you know, or any of the other bands having success at rock radio right now. But, you know, he's in this middle ground, and I don't see it
I'm
going
with you,
anywhere.
man. We're in the same boat. I'm just trying to paddle upstream, and you're going with the current.
Yeah.
We're just kind of at a standstill right now. I genuinely hope. I always want nothing but the best for this band. So I'm giving it
Absolutely.
every option I can to succeed and to see it on the media base ad boards. I will say again, put the biggest smile on my face, and I'm excited for the rest of the album,
You know,
man. Like
that's cool.
we get to hear an
That's
Under Oath
cool.
album next week. How cool is that? Come on,
You
man.
know, before I heard the music, it was cool, you know, but
Oh my
you know,
God.
I have my doubt. This was supposed to be the song that, you know, maybe won us back, but, you know, I don't know any other. I mean,
And I know
I'm
I
not
didn't
sure if
want to
I
bring it
asked you this
up.
again, but do you think, you asked me, do you genuinely think this can climb the charts? Does it have a shot? 'Cause I just don't think it has a shot.
There has been enough anomalies on rock radio recently to where I could see it happening. We had the Asking
Based
Climb.
on,
We
ba
have the
not based
Nothing
on
More
other
Climb.
anomalies though, just based on the song and Under Oath. You know what I
I
mean?
don't
Based
think
on
this
the
song is
quality of
good
the
enough,
song.
but like I said before, I don't think a lot of rock radio songs are good enough to be where they're at.
They're just basically saying like shit happens, so maybe. That's basically like what your point is. The song's not good enough, but shit does happen sometimes.
It could
So
happen.
maybe.
It could happen. They filled out all, they put a check mark in every box that they needed to. How well they did that is highly debatable, but they filled out the form and they have a seat at the table now. Whether or not they can move up, we're just gonna have to see.
Yeah, it's kind of like they've just gotten to the table, though. Will they be invited to sit down and stay? You know?
Come on, man. Under Oath is on rock radio.
They
They
got,
are
but
in
that's a
rock
label
radio
ad. The
rotation.
Concord spam added them. You know what I
I
mean?
know, but that's
They're
their
not really cooking
decision.
in rotation yet. We'll see if they
Oh,
stick in rotation.
just give them a seat. Let my guys sit down.
That's what I want. You know, I would love, like, seriously, if I saw this song in even the top 20, I'm going to consider that, you know, a success. Any other thoughts on Under Oath, Tyler Sharp?
I don't think so. I
Other
just
than, you know, we love the
I'm
band and we wish them the
exhausted.
best. And
Yeah, God.
it's never easy to do this with a band you're so close to.
I didn't want the Under Oath 2018 conversations to be so exhausting, but they are.
All right. Let's move on to our next story, which is 30 Seconds to Mars. The band released their third single, One Track Mind, featuring ASAP Rocky. This is following Walk on Water and Dangerous Night, the former of which went to number one on alt radio and was a big smash sports anthem, and the latter, which is currently performing strong at number nine on alt radio and in like solid rotation. I hear it all the time. This is all from their upcoming album, America, which should probably already be out by now, but isn't coming out until April. So, Tyler Sharp, have you had a chance to hear One Track Mind? And what do you think of it?
I've heard But have you heard, Matt? Because I've heard that it's only 30 seconds to Mars, and it took you even less just to get to my heart.
Oh, dude.
Messiah Complex, Jared Leto is back. All caps. B-A-C-K. With bars, man. Homie is out here trying to make filler tracks change the world.
Dude, shouts to ASAP. Shouts to the mob.
So that's the first thing I'm going to go to. I was expecting, when I saw 30 Seconds to Mars release a song with ASAP Rocky, a lot of things went through my mind. But ultimately, I was expecting something a whole lot different than what we did get from ASAP's verse, but it's still my favorite part of the song. I was, like I said, this is a filler song, man. I mean, it has some sort of, something can be said about its ambient, ethereal kind of atmospheric rise that it has to it, and the low keyness of the, I don't even want to call it an EDM chorus drop, but it's ish. That's kind of what this song is.
It's an EDM-ish chorus drop.
But ASAP saved the song, and Jared is just, man, Bono reincarnate. I can't get away from it, but I'm right underneath a 7 again. For the sake of not being redundant, I'm going to give it a 6.8. But I go back to ASAP's verse. I'll listen to the song just to hear ASAP's verse.
That was a fire delivery.
Fire. Man.
I mean, shit.
Holy crap. Holy crap. Where
okay,
you at,
so
man?
I really like this song, man.
All right.
This is like, you know me in mood tracks, and this is a very vibey, moody, spacey, murky track. You know, this is like one of those songs you listen to when you're driving in your car, like late at night alone. And
ooh, good setting.
I really like it, and I really get into the atmosphere of it. And man, like, Jared Leto, dude, I know you don't like the Bono reincarnate thing, but Jared Leto is just good at music, man. Like,
true.
I'm really amazed at how 30 Seconds to Mars are a rock band, but like on this song, like they can sound so big and important and current, and Jared can just sound so on point vocally, and it really drew me in. And when you stack that up with this single being what it is, this low key, just sort of like dark EDM, sort of like murky banger. And you take that with Walk on Water, which was the big sports anthem, and you take that with Dangerous Night, which was this just fucking fabulous EDM emo banger that is doing well and having all the success it should. These three tracks have just presented such an interesting, diverse palette and offering from the band that, like, they're fucking back in business, man. Mm-hmm. And I am, like, genuinely excited for this new 30 Seconds to Mars album in a way I haven't been about this band in a long time.
Mm-hmm. One of the biggest notes, and this is slightly off track, but I'll tie it back into it. But one of the big...
I gotta get my score real quick. I am at a 7.9 out of 10.
Oh, man.
On One Track Mind. Oh, right under an 8.
Jeez. All right, so...
And for the record straight, I think 8 out of 10, that's our official banger status. Once 8 out of 10 is banger. 8 and above is banger. So 7.9, it's just at a banger. Could grow on.
Jeez, man. I'm glad you like it that much. I'm glad you got this much enjoyment out
just
of it.
Just a good mood track, you know? It's
true.
You know what I mean?
And good mood. And you loved Now or Never, the lead singer from Halsey's last album, and I was on the fence about it. And that's the definition of a mood track. And this one really reminded me of that song.
Yeah, total mood track. It's not, you know, it's not about the big moment. It's just more about getting into the sort of the fogginess of it.
Right. And so here's my kind of
I just like seeing them flex the muscle, you know, going from Walk on Water to this. That's so cool. It's just so cool that they're doing dope and interesting and new things, you know?
Totally.
And Jared sounds so good. I'm just so excited. Dude, Leto's my guy, man. Dude, he was just in the Blade Runner movie I loved. Like, I am, like, back. Leto is my guy. Like,
holy crap. Let me get to my sidebar angle, man.
Sorry, man.
Okay, the conversation.
Having a fangirl moment over here.
Good God. The conversation. The conversation around U2 in 2017 and in 2018 is that Bono is pissed that the band can't have a hit. They can have a number one album. Again, back to my angle about the number one flops. They can have a number one album with no longevity, no hits, no singles. I'm pretty sure that... I'm not pretty sure. I am 100% certain that this is the single that U2 needs to have in order to have a hit single.
Absolutely. This, and even Dangerous Night, this song, if U2, like, why aren't you releasing these songs, U2? You know what I mean? But it's, who cares about U2, I guess, on this podcast.
I mean, well, dude, listeners, I've had a lot of talks about U2 with Matt a lot over the last few weeks, and I don't even know why. I'm not, like, listening to him, but...
You can't escape.
Just the connections that I've been making between Angels and 30 Seconds and Green Carolina.
We've got, like, maps and fucking red arrows everywhere on his walls.
We got String Theory going.
U2 to the Millionaire. Like, it's all over the place.
God, man. U2 is responsible for emo. That's basically what we're getting towards. Shouts to the Breathe Carolina cover of With or Without You. Go cop that. This song is here, and I'm here for 30 Seconds to Mars in 2018.
Yeah,
that's what matters. And I'm glad that you got so much enjoyment out of it, man.
Oh my, I'm ready, man.
I can tell.
Full Leto fangirl over here. can I just give a quick shouts to the fucking, just the band's promo pics right now? Jared Leto standing to the side and like looking away. And I think Shannon Leto's in the middle. It's like, what the fuck? Like, come on, guys. Put your front man in the middle of the fucking picture that whole band is about. He's standing to the side and looking to the distance.
Are they still using the Walk on Water cover art where they're all in fucking Hawaiian button-ups?
I think that's the one, yeah. And Jared's just kind of like looking.
Hated that, man. Like, when they dropped that single and had that cover art for it, I was like, what the fuck is this, man? Bring back from yesterday.
We are like out of time, but before we go, you want to give some shouts to the boys?
Yo, shouts to Dance Gavin Dance, who announced their new album, Artificial Selection. It's coming. There is no single yet, but my guys are raking in those hype pre-orders right now. And I am very excited for these first week sales because anyone who has bought this thing, they have no idea what they're buying. They're buying a product that they have no idea what it contains, and I just, the idea of doing that off of arguably your biggest album cycle as a band is just genius in my book. Just get them all while you can, and shouts to Rise for doing it.
Absolutely, shouts to Tillian. But that is it for the show this week, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. If you have any questions for the show, feel free to shoot them over to notescene@gmail.com, and we will happily discuss them on the show. If you enjoy this podcast, please go to Apple Podcasts, rate us, review us, give us those 5 stars, and we will love you. Until then, we will see you next week.